What is up, everyone, and welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK, the flagship station of your Sacramento Kings here in Sacramento. I also work on the Kings radio broadcast with the entire crew. We got another good one for you today. The 2017-18 regular season is over, finally. So we got some year-end awards to go through for the league, also for the Kings, and maybe a look ahead to the rest of the week as well, maybe a look ahead in the playoffs, and will we ever see the Kings there? I'm sure we will, but anytime soon, we'll get into that also, coming up next on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone, and welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I mentioned, the 2017-18 season is finally over. It was a mixed bag for the Kings, to put it lightly. You always want better, but I think realistic expectations kind of played out this year. I think if you had a realistic view on the team, this is what it was going to look like and how it was going to end. But it's tough to be realistic as a fan, you know? You always want your team to be better. You always think they can be better. You expect more out of them. But I think this year ended, I think this year played out pretty much how we thought it was going to, how I thought it was going to play out at the very least. As I said, fans feel differently. Fan is short for fanatic, so it's not always the most logical expectations. I don't know. I just know some fans are upset, but I think this year actually played out all right for the Kings. So we're going to run down the end of the year a little bit, then we're going to go through some year-end awards for the league, and then I also thought we could do year-end awards for the Kings. So MVP for the Kings, Defensive Player of the Year for the Kings, Rookie of the Year for the Kings, Most Improved Player for the Kings. So I wanted to go through all those, but also go through those for the league. And then, maybe preview what we got coming up this week. I think Matt George and I might have some special things planned for the rest of the week. I think you all will enjoy as well. So the Kings end this year with a record of 27-55. They are either 6th or 7th when it comes to draft lottery positioning or percentages or whatever. The Bulls also ended 27-55, so coin flip is either going to happen or did happen. I don't know. You know, the draft stuff is weird. I really don't know how to fix the draft or how to fix tanking or any of that stuff. But the Kings are in either the 6th or 7th spot. I think the 7th, but I don't know. They also have a chance to jump up in the draft. That's why the lottery's so weird. It really, I don't know. That's something for another day, though, how to fix the draft. We'll figure it out. You and me, we're going to figure out how to fix the draft and how to fix tanking. Then we'll hit up our man Adam Silver and we'll get it done, okay? It's that simple. But the Kings, as I said, they end 27-55. I think Jason Ross actually predicted 27 wins. I think he nailed it. And I also think ESPN had that same prediction. I think it was 26.5, something like that. Might have been 27.5. So right around where people kind of expected them to finish. And I know some fans are a little upset as far as, you know, some extra wins they got in there. It is what it is. There's my cliche, as always. Got to throw that one in there at least once a show. But they played well in certain games. If you're mad about games they won when a vet played well, then why aren't you mad about the games they won, you know, buzzer beaters from the youngsters? And I think that is the most positive thing to take from this year, is how well this team played in crunch time. And not just this team, but these young players. I think there were 5 or 6 buzzer beaters, 5 or 6 wins, knocking down a shot late in the last minute. I think it was Memphis where I think they hit, you know, 3 different shots back. Kings knocked down a shot. Memphis knocked down a shot. Kings knocked all in the last minute. So I think the fact that these young players aren't afraid of the moment is the best thing to take from this year so far. It's not something that you always have in your rookie year. I know there are some stars who maybe they just didn't get the opportunities or whatever, but it took them a while to, you know, show that they're capable of hitting late shots and winning games in that way. And we saw it from Bogey. We saw it from Justin Jackson had one. De'Aaron Fox multiple times. Scal. There might even be more, but those four are the ones that stick out the most. And so that is a positive, and that's something you can take away from this season for sure and moving forward. I mean, there were games when it came down to the wire, I was expecting them to hit a shot and win it. I think the Memphis game, I remember I was sitting there like, oh, well, they're gonna win this. They're going to hit a shot and win. You know, that's just what they've been doing, and that's what happened. So that's a major positive to take from this season. There aren't so many others, at least as a team, to take from this season. There are some individual performances and individual seasons that we're going to get into and talk about. And there are some things to be excited about moving forward, but as far as the team goes, I mean, they had the 30th ranked offense in the league. They gave up league worst field goal percentage and second worst three-point percentage. That's rough. You gotta be good on one side of the ball, preferably both. But if you're going to be bad on defense, you better be able to fill it up. If you can't fill it up, you better be able to defend like Utah. So there's a lot of work to do. And hopefully that comes with a lot of these players getting into their second and third years, just progression. But right now, it's not pretty, and it wasn't good. It was not good. There's nothing else to really say about that. Hopefully, you know, a guy like Shump can maybe help defensively. You know, maybe Bogey and De'Aaron take nice steps in their second years to, up the offensive output and defensive as well. Bogey was a solid defender this year. Buddy Hield's defense was underrated, and he definitely picked it up at times. One of the most kind of annoying parts, I guess, for me was that the Kings shot 37.5% from three. That's the third best in the league percentage-wise, but they only took 24 threes a game, which was third least in the league. And this is kind of where one of my gripes comes in with Dave Joerger, is just his style of play is kind of antiquated in today's NBA. It's just not what teams are doing. And he's kind of going against the grain. And we saw it in Memphis, and it worked in Memphis because you had Prime Zebo, Prime Gasol, Mike Conley. You had players that could do that. That's not how this team is built, though. And like I, you know, in the restricted free agency episode I did a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, you know, maybe they go get Julius Randle or something and get someone who can fit what Joerger kind of does. But I would much rather see Joerger try and adapt to this young team that has shooters and is young and fast and can run the floor and has a center like Willie Cauley-Stein that can run the floor just about as good as any other big in the league, instead of, you know, getting the half court and dump it down and just stuff like that. So I don't know. I think this is a big year for Joerger. I think this is a big year for Vlade as well. They're going to need a good draft, hopefully find someone in that top lottery where they're going to be with that sixth or seventh pick or whatever, if they get, you know, get a higher pick like they did last year. Who knows? But I just think this is a team that has the ability to do certain things that they're not doing. I mean, I remember a certain Warriors team with Mark Jackson who had an old school philosophy. He would throw it down to freaking Jermaine O'Neal all the time, and he'd get some buckets, but, you know, we have two of the best shooters in the world on the floor. Why aren't you, you know, devising an offense to take advantage of them? Bogey shot 39% from three. Buddy, 43% from three. There's no reason to not be jacking up more threes and running it at a higher pace. You have De'Aaron Fox, who's, you know, Russell Westbrook type fast. Why are we slowing the pace down? Anyways, that's my gripe. I do think he did a fine job, actually, with such a young team. But I do think there's more he can do to adapt to them instead of trying to have them adapt to him and his game plan and his style of play. But we'll see. We'll see what happens next year. And like I said, it's going to be a big year for him, big year for Vlade. You know, teams don't like to fire coaches with multiple years left on the deal. And not that he deserves to be fired. He deserves this third year for sure. But after the third year, he's got 1 year left. And that's kind of when owners are like, okay, well, we'll pay you this last year. We're fine paying you the rest of this contract to not work for 1 year. And I'm not advocating it, but, you know, going to have to see some improvements in this next year for sure. All right. So that's a small recap on the Kings 2017-18 season as a team. Let's get into some of these awards, year-end awards. And I'll start with some of the, I wouldn't say easier ones, but actually kind of tougher because I'm not really sure where to go with these awards. Some of them. Defense Player of the Year. League-wide, I guess Rudy Gobert. I mean, the guy's a defensive menace, over two blocks a game. The Utah Jazz do you pluralize the Jazz? Call them the Jazzes? The Utah Jazz entire season turned around when he came back. And a big part of that was his defense. But then again, you look at, well, he played 56 games. So what is that? He missed 26 games. Is that a detriment? Draymond didn't have the year that he, you know, his defense didn't live up to his standards, I'd say. Joel Embiid, really good defensively, but he also missed a ton of games. So Defense Player of the Year, it's kind of a weird one. I'm not really sure where else to go at this point. They rarely give it to guards. I don't even remember the last time they gave it. Probably Gary Payton almost 20 years ago. So I'll go Rudy Gobert just because I really don't have anywhere else to go. And then same thing with the Kings at Garrett Temple. Why not? He's just their best defensive player, I think. And like I said, one of the worst defenses in the league. So I'm not really sure who to give it to on this Kings team. So Garrett Temple. There you go. If Shump played, maybe he'd get it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But, yeah. Defensive Player of the Year is a tough one. It's a tough one. Let's move on to Rookie of the Year. For the league, I give it to Donovan Mitchell. And I know people are, oh, Ben Simmons. Yeah. I get it. I think you know my opinion on a guy in his second year still being considered a rookie. It's the rule, though. He is considered a rookie. He's up for the award. Nothing I can do about that. But I just think Donovan Mitchell had a great year. I mean, yes, Ben Simmons did as well, and he's probably going to be a star, but Donovan Mitchell came into a team that pretty much gutted itself, and he carried the load for them. He carried the load and got them to where they needed to be, averaging 20 points, 20.5 points, 20 and a half points, however you want to say it. I don't want to mix people up, which I probably just did doing that. 3.7 assists, 3.7 rebounds, and turned this team around. I mean, they got rid of Gordon Hayward, Rodney Hood, you know, other good players. What's his name? Gobert was out for 26 games. And for him to come in and carry the load like he has been impressive. Very impressive. More impressive than Ben Simmons, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying, oh, I'm taking Ben Simmons isn't allowed to get votes. I think he is going to win Rookie of the Year, Ben Simmons. But you know how I feel about the rule, that he's a second-year player that spent an entire year around the team and the coaches, and gets to come in and play and technically be a rookie, which is just weird. I don't like the rule. He's allowed to. He's going to get votes. He's probably going to win. But I am not for it. So it's my man Donovan Mitchell. What can I say? And then Rookie of the Year on the Kings, I'm giving it to De'Aaron Fox. Kind of similar reasons. I know people, but I know Bogey was better. Bogey is, at this moment, probably best player on the team. Probably the one I feel most confident about moving forward. De'Aaron Fox can easily overtake him next year or in his third year when he gets better. But a solid rookie year from De'Aaron Fox. I'd say it was just, there's not a lot of complaints, and there's also not a ton of praise that you can heap on him. He was just solid throughout the entire year. And that's not a knock on him. Look, considering what they got out of other first-round draft picks over the last couple of years, he was really good. he was really good and better than what they've gotten from certain other players, from, you know, certain centers they've drafted and things like that. So I give it to De'Aaron Fox, and I know people think I'm snubbing Bogey, but he's up for another award a little later. But yeah, De'Aaron Fox, the guy's still 19. I know you want more out of such a high draft pick, the fifth overall pick, the point guard. I think you're going to get it. I think you're going to get it. But it just takes time. None of them come in as finished products. It's just going to be, it's going to be a wait. And Grant Napier said it, I think, last week with Matt. You know, this summer is all about De'Aaron Fox. It's all about De'Aaron Fox and how much better he can get and how he can develop his game more. And can he put on some weight and strength? Because he's a small guy. He's a slim dude. But I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to turn into a fine NBA player. I mean, he already is a fine NBA player. And that's a positive for the Kings, is that your all of your draft picks look like NBA players. So, Rookie of the Year for the Kings, giving it to De'Aaron Fox. You are listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. We will be right back. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Real quick, I forgot to mention about De'Aaron. I think he's a solid rebounder. I think he's got potential as a rebounder as well. I just left out a couple things. Even though he only averaged 2.8 rebounds, he's shown ability to go up there and get it, similar to Russell Westbrook. Well, now, you know, whether he's going to hunt rebounds like Westbrook does is, remains to be seen. And his assist numbers weren't bad, 4.4 assists a game. So those are things to build on. I know we all, you know, really, I wouldn't say overrate points, but that's the main stat we all look at. And 11.6 points a game is fine. Hopefully that improves, or at least the efficiency improves. That's one of the things, is his efficiency. I thought he did a good job of getting to his spots, just didn't make as many shots as he would have liked. But that is a positive, because there weren't a lot of bad shots. He wasn't, you know, jacking up contested threes with two hands in his face or anything like that. So I think the future's bright for him. He's the Kings Rookie of the Year. I just wanted to throw those in there real quick. We're going to move on to Most Improved Player, MIP, I guess. That's a weird one, MVP. Just rolls off the tongue. But DPOY, ROY, MIP, those aren't as good. Those aren't as good. But, oh well, what are you going to do? Most improved player for the league, I mean, this one is easy. There's no other option, really. Victor Oladipo. A guy who, I wouldn't say bust, but definitely didn't live up to potential in Orlando as a top five pick. He was part of that really bad Anthony Bennett draft. It was a bad one. It was a bad draft. I think he went fourth to Orlando and just never really lived up to potential there. It's not a great situation there either. Just didn't work out. Got his opportunity with Russell Westbrook in OKC. That's another tough situation to be in. As great as Russell Westbrook is, I think he can be tough to play with. And his opportunities were not great. They came few and far between, and it's hard to capitalize on that when you're not used to that. And so this was a fresh start in Indiana, and he's been great, averaging 23 points, 5.2 rebounds, 4.3 assists. His defense has been incredible. He is a guy you could put up for Defense Player of the Year, but as I said, guards rarely get votes, much less the actual award. So, and that's Defense Player of the Year. Most Improved Player, he's got it locked up. Another guy on his team, another former Oklahoma City Thunder player, Domantas Sabonis. He's been a beast this year. He's a guy you could put in the Most Improved Player category as well. But I have a problem giving it to a second-year player just because progression from the first year to the second year is natural. That's going to happen. There's nothing, you know, there's, if you degress, I guess, I don't even know if that's a word. If you get worse in your second year, that's a problem. So I have a problem getting it to a second year player for the league. I'm going to break my rule for the Kings, and you'll hear that in just a second. But Domantas Sabonis has been a beast. But it's Oladipo, no question. And I mean, how about that trade? And no offense to Paul George, I would make that trade especially because of how the Oladipo and Sabonis played in, you know, 2016-17, I would make that trade 10 times over. And I think Paul George is a beast. I think, again, it's kind of proved that it's tough to play with Russell Westbrook in OKC just because of how little you're going to get the ball, especially a guy like Paul George who needs the ball. So, but that trade looks great. Looks pretty great. Now, the Carmelo Anthony and his Cantor trade, I don't know. But Oladipo Sabonis for Paul George looks great on both sides. I know some people are upset with Paul George's performance, but I still think he's a beast. So, yes, most approved player in the league, Victor Oladipo, and I am breaking my second-year rule for the Kings. Most improved player for the Kings has got to be Buddy Hield. It's got to be Buddy Hield. He's been great. He's been great, and I think he found his role as the sixth man coming off the bench. He was in and out of the starting lineup earlier in the year and kind of struggled a little bit. I just think his mentality coming off the bench is get buckets. I'm going to get buckets. I am getting my shots up, and that's it. I think starting, he kind of, I wouldn't say tries to get other people involved, but just tries to play a more complete game where coming off the bench, hey, you're our sixth man. We need you to get buckets. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Shot 42% from three. And one of the most promising developments we've seen from him late in the year was his defense picked up. His defense definitely picked up. Where he was kind of indifferent at times earlier in the year, he really started to care. And technique was better. And that's the other thing. The guy is, he's a big dude. I mean, he's only 6'4", which is average, maybe slightly below average for the NBA. But he's, you know, 215. He's built kind of like Klay Thompson, built really strong from the waist down. So with that size, he can, you know, play some bigger players. He's got a strong base. His defense has been really, really intriguing. And with that, with his build, that's something you would expect. And it's good to see that it's happening. But I think he is a very important piece to this team moving forward as the sixth man. I think you got Bogey and De'Aaron starting next year. You got him coming off the bench as the sixth man. The three and four spot to me are wide open. Maybe that's something they can fill in the draft and unrestricted free agency. You know, maybe an Aaron Gordon type player at the four, getting that train moving, okay? Getting that train moving. Aaron Gordon to the Kings. Let's make it happen. And then, you know, Willie Costa at the five, which is another intriguing thing, whether Costa and guys like Garrett Temple will take their player options. I think they will because of the money, but, you know, people have different priorities, and I'm not into counting another man's money being another man's pockets, but I think it would be tough to turn down that money. And now I'm getting sidetracked. But most improved player for the Kings is no question Buddy Hield. And I'm really excited to see what he can do moving forward also. I just, in a league where three-point shooting has never been more important, to get a guy who's knocking him down at a 43% clip and playing good defense. And another thing that he's added to his game, and it was probably always there, but just he knows what other teams are looking for with him. So he'll pump fake at the three, step in, take a little mid-range, knocks it down. He's definitely adding to his game. It's been very impressive to watch, and I think he's a big piece of the Kings moving forward. I would almost put him at this point, at this moment, today, at the end of the 2017-18 season, it goes Bogey, then him. Bogey Buddy. De'Aaron probably third. And De'Aaron can easily jump him this next year. But as far as this last year's performances go, I think he's the second most important player on this team moving forward. You are listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. We got MVP coming up next. Stick around. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. We've been running through league-wide awards and giving the Kings some awards as well. So here is the last one. MVP for the league, I think it's pretty obvious. It's James Harden. It's James Harden. That's all I've really got. I mean, the guy's a monster. 30 points, 8.8 assists, 5 rebounds. Best record in the league, number one seed. Now, these are regular season awards. And as far as playoffs go, they're great. And I expect great things out of them. But it's just, we haven't seen it yet. We've seen him flame out in the playoffs. We've seen Chris Paul get hurt almost every year and flame out at times as well. So I just need to see it in the playoffs to believe in them in the playoffs. I know, yeah, that's a crazy idea. But as far as this MVP goes, it's a regular season award. Regular season, he was a beast. I think he should have won it last year. I mean, what, he averaged 29, 11, and 8.8. So if he got that 1.2 more rebounds or whatever, then he would have had the triple-double, then would he have gotten it? So, whatever. I think you all know how I feel about the triple-double thing. But he deserves it this year. He's going to get it. He should get it. Congrats to him. Because it's been last year, I think, was the biggest snub of his MVP candidacies. And who would have thought, man? Three MVPs on that Thunder team. And I also think the Thunder kept the worst one. And nothing against Russ. He's a top 7-8 player in the league. But, man, that's tough for Sam Presti. Anyways, James Harden, MVP of the league. Hands down. No question. Congrats. Engrave it. Give it to him. It's going to be his. MVP for the Kings. I have to give it to my man Bogdan Bogdanovic. He's been great. He's been great. I think he's the future of this team, along with Buddy and hopefully De'Aaron. He made that trade worth it because Scal, we don't know. Papagiannis ain't on the team anymore. I don't know how he even signed with Portland, but he's not getting any minutes for them. He's made that trade worth it, and I just don't know how that happened. Why they threw him in. Maybe they didn't think they had a place for him, but imagine, and talking about Phoenix, maybe they just didn't think they had a place for him, but imagine Bogey and Devin Booker playing together. Imagine that backcourt. Instead, they've got Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis. I don't know. I don't know why they just threw him in like that, but it worked out for the Kings. It worked out great for the Kings, and it's not just his points and his three-point percentage, which are all great. It's the fact that he came in as a rookie and has great basketball IQ. You can see that he knows where people are supposed to be, and when they're not there, you can see him get a little upset. I just think he's a leader. I think he is the headliner of this draft class, or this rookie class, excuse me, because I know he was drafted a couple years ago. I think he's the future of this team, along with guys like Buddy and De'Aaron. Defensively solid, if not better than that, can get better than that, but fine defensively. He's not a liability defensively, and he had some of those big late shots as well, set up some of those big late shots. He's a guy also with his build, there's no reason he can't be a solid to, you know, even better than that defender. I think the future's bright for him, and I think that's something that the Kings should be intrigued by. I think you've sat through what will be the worst year of this quote-unquote rebuild, because I think we've found some players here. I think the Kings have found a core, at least, to build around, and hopefully they can build around it with some restricted free agents, unrestricted free agents, etc. And that's the most exciting part with the draft and free agency is the hope that comes with it. And hopefully they've learned some lessons from some of their previous free agents and draft picks and whatnot, but we will see. That we will see. I think it's a big offseason for Vlade in the front office. I think it's a big offseason. If Jaeger's involved with that as well, it's going to be big for him. And next season is big for Jaeger. This has been Locked On Kings, a little year-end awards edition. We will be here the rest of the week, probably recapping the season. I think Matt George and I are going to do a couple things together as well, so stick around for that. Come on back. Hopefully you will, because I will definitely be here. This has been Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.